puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's about that time for Abandoned Manitoba with Gordon Goldsboro from the Historical Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, in this series, we have talked about abandoned buildings, abandoned structures, and a whole lot more. This week, we're talking about ghost towns, where the entire town has been abandoned, including some examples where the description doesn't quite fit, at least not yet.
Okay, so where do we start?
Well, any discussion about Manitoba ghost towns must start with a book that was published back in 1985 by a pair of Portage la Prairie writers, Helen Mulligan and Wanda Ryder. It was the first book dedicated to the subject, but, you know, frankly, I find it somewhat lacking. You know, it doesn't say, for instance, how they defined a ghost town.
What do you mean?
Well, some people think that to qualify as a ghost town, there should be no human inhabitants at all. It must be completely and utterly abandoned. But there's the rub. Mulligan and Ryder included some towns in their book that still had people living there. And some people take vehement exception to having their town characterized as a ghost. So, for example, 2 years ago, I visited a town that I won't identify here to avoid inflaming the insensitivities of the residents. I was with a group of photographers who wanted to take photos of abandoned buildings in the town. As we stood on the main street, a vehicle drove by us very slowly, and its occupants scowled fiercely at us as they passed. They went by several times, apparently hoping to intimidate us to leave. One of our group later talked with that person, and yes, indeed, they were angry that we were there, and they repeated several times that our town is not a ghost town. This illustrates that there are a range of possibilities when describing a town as a ghost.
So what constitutes a ghost town?
Well, in the extreme case are towns that were once occupied and have since been completely abandoned. In other words, all signs of the former existence have disappeared, except maybe for a monument that just reminds you where it used to be. So I'm going to list a few examples that I suspect our listeners have probably never heard of. So we start with Bannerman, Bates, Carnegie, Cayer, Desford, Fallison, Hayfield, Hummerston, Kronsgart, Littleton, Moberly, Nelsonville, Manitoba City, Milford, Mountainside, Naples, Norquay, Purvis, Salterville, Scandinavia, Sura City, Stephen, Totogan, and Wakapa.
And how about when there are some buildings left?
A good example of this less extreme case of a ghost town is the mining town of Sheridan in northern Manitoba. When the supply of ore ran out, most of the town was simply picked up and moved to Lynn Lake. One of the few remaining buildings was the Cambrian Hotel. It had been built in 1934, and I guess the size of this four-story building was such that it was simply left behind in the move to Lynn Lake. It remained there at Sheridan in operation as a summer facility for tourists into the early 2000s. And unfortunately, the building was destroyed by an arson fire in 2012. Today, just a few other buildings, some apparently still occupied, remain at the site of Sheridan. In southern Manitoba, a good example is the village of Pope. It once boasted a grain elevator, a general store, a post office, and a handful of houses. Today, just three buildings, the general store and two houses, remain, and all of them completely empty.
So there's degrees of ghostliness?
Yes, indeed. So it seems to me if a town once had a thriving business community that is now gone, if it had social institutions such as churches and schools that are also now gone, if its population is decreasing so that only a small fraction of its houses are occupied year-round, it qualifies as a ghost town in my books. You know, we might call these places ghost towns in progress, although I recognize that that phrase is an oxymoron. And there are many examples here. I'll just list a very few. Arrow River, Basswood, Bradwardine, Broom Hill, Cayer, Dakota, Decker, Hilton, Mackinac, Millwood, Moore Park, Mowbray, Nealon, Rownthwaite, and Silverton.
Okay, so what causes a town to become a ghost?
Well, I think the usual cause of town abandonment is the loss of business activity, which is combined with improved highways since the 1950s that have made it easier for people to work somewhere other than where they live. And, you know, and when the economic engine for a community ceases to exist, its businesses close shortly thereafter. You know, then its social institutions usually follow, you know, maybe a few years later. The last thing to go are the residences, as, you know, some people are just too attached to their community, or they're too elderly to move, or they're simply too stubborn. You know, some people find the peace and quiet of a ghost town attractive. So I suspect that some such towns may never be fully abandoned. But depopulation is a very real phenomenon in many parts of rural Manitoba. For a book I wrote back in 2008, I calculated using census data over a period from 1956 to 2006, 50 years, I calculated the rate of population change in all the municipalities, all the incorporated municipalities of Manitoba. The only place where the populations were not decreasing were those in the regions around Winnipeg and Brandon, the area between Morden and Winkler, and the recreation corridor along the west side of Lake Winnipeg. You know, even incorporated towns are at risk. You know, so ones whose numbers have declined 50% or more since the mid-1950s include Bozeman, Cartwright, Erickson, Flin Flon, Wascada, and Winnipegosis. And in fact, all but Flin Flon lost their incorporation status in the municipal mergers of 2015. If these trends continue, all of those towns, it seems to me, are candidates as future ghost towns.
So is there a part of Manitoba where ghost towns are more common?
Well, northern Manitoba comes to mind, but there were never a lot of people living there compared to southern Manitoba. I would say if there's a region of unusually high abundance of ghost towns, it is in southwestern Manitoba. You know, mechanization and automation of agriculture means that many fewer people are needed to farm the land. You know, it seems to me that the days of the family farm are numbered, and consequently, many towns that were established to support local farming, well, they're dwindling.
So this topic sounds like one for which a lot more could be said.
Yes, indeed. In fact, this will be a topic to which we will come back again in Abandoned Manitoba periodically. We'll talk about specific ghost towns, you know, when and why the town was established, noteworthy people and businesses, why it declined, you know, its present state. We'll touch upon a few of the ghost towns in future episodes.
Thanks, Gordon.
You're welcome.
So tell me, what's up for next week?
Well, my grandmother always used to say that if everyone gardened, there would be no hunger in the world. Well, next week, we will talk about an abandoned facility connected to the practice of gardening in Manitoba.
Great. We'll talk to you then.
See you then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.